why these straight men struggle with their freakiness. When that kind of stuff is talked about, it's often delivered with judgment, so it doesn't leave us feeling too motivated and inspired. And also, with trying new things, where do we get information from a trusted source and not fall into the danger of being labeled gay?
Lovers and friends, lovers and friends. I'ma take you on a trip, baby, I don't pretend. I said, lovers and friends, I'ma hold you down to the end. I said, lovers and friends, I'ma hold you down to the end. I said,
let's talk about sex, baby, specifically. Why are so many straight men so close-minded and unadventurous when it comes to sex?
A group of us were on vacation in the Bahamas and the topic of anal play came up and I casually mentioned, yeah, I've tried it before. If a guy's into it, I definitely will stimulate his P-spot. And the guy that I was hooking up with at the time wanted no part of it. He literally hopped out of the pool, soaking wet, grabbed his sneakers, and he's like, I'm not gonna be seen with a girl who openly talks about stimulating guys in that way because I don't want people to think that I'm into it. And like literally seconds later, you hear his car tires like screeching out of our apartment complex and he never talked to me again.
Anytime I want to do anything besides blowjobs or missionary, like he just does not want to do that at all.
I wanted him to go down on me and he refused because apparently Jamaicans didn't do that.
I dated a guy who wouldn't let me kiss him on the neck because he said that it's a girl's thing.
I've had a lot of sex with straight males, but I've had a very limited experience of them actually being freaky and wanting to try new things, such as like using sex toys.
So I'm with a very typically straight, very dominant type of man, and he doesn't even like it when a woman initiates sex.
But where are my manners? Let me shake your hand before we grab this episode by the balls, right? I'm Shan Boudram, a public-facing sex educator with an educational background in sexology, psychology, and journalism. This is Lovers and Friends, a topical podcast about sexuality, love, and/or attachments that happens to be nominated for an Ambi in the Best Wellness or Relationship Podcast category. This episode, we are diving into the topic of straight men's sexual range, or more specifically, lack thereof. To help me do this, I have words of wisdom from the legendary sex educator, Dan Savage. I have a sit-down heart-to-heart with men from the Hard or Soft podcast. And lastly, my husband, Jared Brady, gets together with the closest men in his life to get their honest reflections on why straight men are more concerned with dominance and masculinity than pleasure and self-expression in the bedroom. We, of course, get to listen in on this conversation. A few weeks ago, I sat down with Kevin Samuels and then the roommates to talk about the current divide in many straight men and women's sexual needs and values today. The what is that it's becoming evident that while the LGBTQ+ and straight women's sexual liberation movement is thriving, straight men's sexual liberation is kinda non-existing. Let me clarify my point here, because immediately you might be thinking, what are you talking about? Straight men have all the space to be sexual since they're the ones who write the social sexual script. And this is true. Straight men are sexually liberated as long as their liberation includes activities and desires that fall in line with their role in the script as the dominant, masculine, emotionless, unquestionably heterosexual sex stallion. Many who fall outside of that box find themselves being forced through both internal and external factors to get in line or get really, really good at covering their off the heteronormative path tracks. Those who are too afraid to venture outside the box at all often suffer from side effects of sexual repression, which include strict adherence to traditional gender roles, confusion or disgust towards your own sexual preferences, misinformation about sex, an aversion to learning about sex and fear that new information could highlight your insecurities. Guilt and shame surrounding sex, plus the projection of those onto partners, either desired or existing. And lastly, a disdain towards those who are not repressed. So when I hear sound bites like this.
So I knew that this girl had not had a lot of sexual experience. And there is something special about a chick who doesn't have a lot of sexual experience. Because everything you do to her is all brand new.
What I really hear is someone who has three sexual activities and arguably three ways of executing said activities. So in order to create a novel experience with a partner, they need somebody who has no experience at all. If that person's sexual repertoire was explorative, innovative, and evolving, they would not need to limit their partner's sexual activity in order to be regarded as a high-value sexual partner. When I hear this...
Because a woman has to get to a certain emotional point to cheat on a man. But a man does not have to get to that same emotional point to have sex with another chick, because you can still love your girl the same and go have sex with other women. It does not work the other way around, though. That's why cheating with from women is unforgivable.
I hear a person who is afraid of their partner's sexual appetite and would rather think that it is tied to something controllable like a committed bond versus something unpredictable like sexual attraction. I also hear someone who does not view sex as an activity that women just enjoy if there isn't an additional incentive attached to it, like money, status, or a relationship. And since that kind of person doesn't believe women are interested in sex just for the sake of pleasure, that kind of person is not likely to think that they need to invest time in learning how to provide new pleasures for their partner. But this is not where we're going with this episode, because the conversation doesn't really start with the what, does it? It begins with the why. So, if sexual liberation and a rejection of the masculine, dominant, emotionless, extremely straight, and suffocatingly narrow model would help men have better sex and dramatically help them to become better sexual partners, especially for their straight, increasingly sexually savvy partners, then why aren't all men getting on board? Furthermore, why are some going as far to try and stop the train altogether? To dive into this more, I invited Dan Savage, who is arguably the most influential intimacy advice columnist in American history. Dan is an American author, media pundit, journalist, and LGBT plus community activist. He writes Savage Love, an internationally syndicated relationship and sex advice column, which recently celebrated its 30th anniversary. As someone who has been at the forefront of conversations about sex positivity and liberation, I asked Dan for his thoughts on why.
I don't think all straight men are sexually oppressed in the bedroom, but I think most men who are sexually oppressed are straight men. And it's not just straight men's fault, it's mostly straight men's fault. Straight men make the rules that we all have to live by, but also straight men are oppressed by those same rules. And gay men and straight women and bi men and bi women participate to an extent in the oppression and policing of male heterosexuality. Because it's not just straight men who perceive male heterosexuality as a bundle of two negatives. You know, to be a straight man, for many straight men, is to not be two things, a woman, and it is to not be a faggot. So anything that is perceived as feminine or associated with gay men or homosexuality, a straight man can't go near that thing because his claim to straightness then could be called into question. So in this sense, male heterosexuality is fragile in ways that people from more, you know, oppressed groups, women, gay, queer, bi, men, our sexualities are less fragile. No one can take my gayness from me. No one finds out that I slept with girls in high school and says, oh, you really couldn't be gay. You couldn't have done that and really be gay. You're not really gay. There was a study of cortisone levels where they compared, and that's the stress hormone, they compared cortisone levels in gay men to cortisone levels in straight men. And they found not what they thought they would find. What the researchers found was gay men had lower levels of stress hormone. And I get a lot of letters, and I've gotten a lot of letters over the decades I've been writing Savage Love, from straight men's girlfriends who ask me if their boyfriends are really gay. Often what they cite is not, you know, he's on Grindr and has condoms in his pocket and comes home with his ass blown out. What they say is he likes to have his nipples touched. What they say is I was giving him a blowjob and I touched his butthole and he came. That means he's gay, right? You know, if we want straight men to be more sexually liberated, to be more fun in bed, we have to stop policing straight male sexual expression. We have to stop scrutinizing it for evidence that this straight guy, this guy who tells us he's straight, might not really be straight. And then maybe straight men would feel as free to invent themselves sexually as women increasingly feel free to invent themselves, and as gay men feel free to invent ourselves.
To bring more light and personal reflection to this topic, I am thrilled to introduce you to Orlando and Tahoe of Hard or Soft Podcast, a show where men candidly speak about their exploration in the world of sex. The goal of Hard or Soft Podcast is to provide typically taboo perspectives of men being open with their sexuality while simultaneously providing a place for women to understand and boost men's comfortability in this realm. I promise you are going to live for this conversation right after this. What would you think the average person would consider a freaky man?
He does probably one or two things that the average person wouldn't do.
If you put a toe in your mouth, then you're freaky.
Yeah. I would even push it. I think that they would consider something like he spits in my mouth or like—
I was about to say
he
fluids.
Chokes. Yeah, some kind of fluid exchange. But I don't even think that they think of that because there is such a limitation on activities that a heterosexual man can do, or a man of a sex with women can do.
And I think that's the communication aspect. Being able to be open. Like, how open is a heterosexual black man really going to be about his kinks? Things that turn him... Because kinks for heterosexual black men normally are things that you're going to tuck away.
Yeah.
Because the community is going to shun you for that. You know what I'm saying? Men will shun you for it. Women will shun you for it. You know what I'm saying? Your family might shun you for it. So you're not going to say, hey, I like being tied up. Or, you know what I mean? I like somebody to punch me in my nuts. There's no space for that in our community. But with us being able to communicate and talk, and I think obviously for her, the first thing was, do you like a finger in your butt? And I was like, I'm not against it. Like, I don't.
Show me what you mean. Can I get an example?
I'm not lusting for it, but hey, it's you. I trust you. If that's what you want to do, you know, fuck it. Let's just have fun. Mm-hmm. And we had that type of fun. And then we started exploring more. And I hired two dominatrices for her birthday. She didn't know. She was just sitting up in the room. We were drinking and chiefing a little bit. And then I had one come in one door and another one come in another door with their whips. And I had to sit in the corner and watch. And it was an interesting time because all of a sudden.
What a great birthday gift.
All of a sudden.
Jared, why have we never thought about that?
It's crazy.
That's a great birthday gift.
But then you realizing that, that's when I realized that sex was so much more because they had her screaming and yelling and they don't have a dick. They don't have that. And this is my main go-to, is my dick. But they had her, yes, mistress, yes, mistress. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all of these things. And she was so wet and happy and exhausted when it was over. I was like literally blown away by this experience. I think the anxiety probably just took me over. So they was like, come over here and let us suck your dick. My dick was like, no.
No.
I don't wanna. And from there, we started going to sex parties or play parties and things of that nature. And even going to those, I was not as confident of a man that I normally am. I was not present at the first one or the second one, really. It wasn't until I really got comfortable with the space that I was kind of able to walk around, dick out. Like, I remember the first time we went, we was like, oh, you want a drink? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go put my pants on. She's like, I got it. And she walked across the room in her panties to the thing. And I'm just like, why is she so confident? Like, why is she so comfortable here? Because I'm like, no, let me cover up. And I realized I had work to do.
Sex toys for men, what are the options? Because we're now, after the pandemic, 50% of people bought a sex toy. Mm-hmm. We're going to assume that majority of those people were probably people with vulvas. Mm-hmm. So more vibrators, more dildos, more nipple clamps and stimulators than usually things that are for women. But there's this entire market for male sex toys that exists and that thrives in other countries, but not in America. Mm. So for people who have never even heard of a male sex toy before, what are those?
So male sex toys could be toys that you could use solo. So you can have a masturbation toy, which basically you can hold in your hand, put it on your dick, and it might have like a silicone or a gel feel, and you could just use it to masturbate. My favorite one of those is it's called the Hummer sleeve, and it's like translucent or transparent, so you can see inside. So I will put my dick in it, and you can see my dick inside. So as it's jerking off, you can like see the dick go in and out, but there's a hole at the top. So if you put your thumb over the hole while you're jerking off, air escapes, but nothing goes back in. So it creates a suction feel as you're jerking off. Yeah. And then there's, it's basically, it goes on the head of the penis and just vibrates on the tip. So you can like masturbate while using it, but then the head will get very sensitive. And I like it for when I come, because the vibration in the head when I come, it's made me like trip over my own feet.
But sex toys for women makes a woman freaky. I mean, for, yeah. I think, more of an evolved man, because there's still a sector of the population who looks at it like, if you use a sex toy, that means that I'm not doing my job. So it becomes like an ego challenge for them. So there are still a large percentage of women who are struggling to even say, like, I use a vibrator in my free time, to bring that into the conversation. But then on the flip side, there is a sector who was like, yeah, if you're into BDSM, if you bring in the Benoit balls, if you bring in the lubricant, like if you bring in the BDSM, like that's sexy and hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sex toys for women is progressive, it's liberating. For men, it means you're a loser. Mm. That, I think, is the stigma that a lot of people are fighting against.
Women have become more the agency of their bodies. They have started doing more and learning their bodies more and exploring more. And if we as men just stay in one space, they're catapulting past us, like on so many different levels. And it's like, yo, men need to realize that the power of sex is mental more than physical. It's about literally exploring every part of her being. So why wouldn't I want to incorporate that? Why wouldn't I want to meet her on that level? When my girl showed me her drawer full of dildos and vibrators and wrist straps and all types of stuff, I was faced with a fork in the road. Yeah. Either I stay over here, because she's going to use these. I'm not replacing these. So either incorporate them or get lost. And that's kind of what got me into being a little bit more explorative.
All right, so what's your freakiest story?
Oh, you gonna make me tell the prostate thing?
Oh, I love that story.
I'll go with that, because it's a sex toy, right? We're talking about sex toys. So being that we do the anal players in some ways, she bought me a prostate massager, which vibrates and it goes in the anal region, and we having sex. One thing I didn't realize, though, is that when you climax, you tighten your butt. Mm. So we're going at it, and I get to climaxing, and pew, I nut, but the pew sound wasn't coming out the front. It was the prostate massager launching out my ass across the room.
Yo, it's better that way than the other way.
God damn, so, because you got to walk across the room, go pick it up off the floor. Wasn't my greatest moment, but it was funny as hell.
Was it one of your best orgasms, though?
Nah. I think one of my best orgasms had to be maybe 2 weeks ago. And I grabbed her as I was nutting, and I was just like, and the nut, the saliva like poured out of my mouth into her ear. If I'm going to say that was one of the hardest nuts, because I couldn't control it. And I didn't worry about my demeanor. I didn't worry about any of that. And unfortunately, I had to comb a little bit of saliva out of her hair.
Because you know what's fascinating? Even that is a break from the suppressive masculinity, I'll say. Because I actually had a sexual partner years and years ago who was a silent orgasmer.
Oh, jeez.
Because it was the fear of making an effeminate sound. So even getting to a place where you allow your body just to do whatever it wants. And we always talk about this, how if you watch porn from the non-hearing community, the sounds they make are so drastically different from the sounds that we usually make. Mm-hmm. And that goes to show that even though sex is supposed to be a place of freedom and of bodily expression, it's heavily socialized. Mm-hmm. The sounds we make, the faces that we make, the things that we say, they're all this like rehearsed act that we're going through. So it's in moments like that when you allow yourself to break free from that and its experience, one, the best sex is possible, but two, real sex is actually possible.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy that even the way you have sex is socialized. Men are thinking you gotta kill it. You gotta, you know what I'm saying? And every woman is different. Mm-hmm. Of course, my lady, thank God, she does like it when we go at it. But then there are times when she wants to be just held and stroked. And I think that men aren't, we are really stuck in making sure that our masculinity is seen. You know what I mean? Like, yo, I'm this type of guy. I'm not.
I'm not wearing a crop top.
I don't care about that. So it's very interesting how the fight that we have to get back. Women as well, but men as well, to be able to get to their regular selves without the pressure, without society. And I think that's really what our play is on our show.
I had a conversation with Kevin Samuels about a week and a half ago when we were talking about the gap that's happening right now with sex and sexual liberation, that women in every class that I'm in, it's 80 to 90% women. And if there are men there, they're usually gay or bisexual men. Then very, never ever black, but mostly like white men or some other kind of man who's there. And then furthermore, that what I'm seeing online now is that there's a rise in dialogues that are archaic. Like there's a rise in the body count dialogue all of a sudden. Like that's important to men to talk about. And then also a lot of sex toy shaming, which to me feels like I'm not feeling like I'm catching up to women. So I want to pull women back. I want them to have less experiences and less knowledge so that I still feel like what I'm bringing is adequate to the bedroom.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily like a pulling or a holding back. I think it's just a fear of being left behind, really, for men. I think it's very apparent that they see the direction of how like sexual liberation is going, and it's scary to feel left behind. So I think it's more of like a desperation reach than like I want you to be pulled back.
But don't you think? Pardon me. I think they're scared of what women are going to think.
Yeah,
because. Like I said earlier, it's not just the other guys that you're scared of ridiculing you. You're scared of the other women. There's an old thing where the guy says, don't tell the group chat that you used to finger pop me, that you used to put your finger in my butt. Now I'm showing up to the dinner table and all your girls is looking at me laughing. And you don't want to be the guy that's outed from the cool table by the ladies. We do most of our things that men do is for the ladies. So, but you have a lot of women that are holding on to archaic views of sex as well. And not saying that it's y'all fault, right? I'm not saying that it's women's fault, but men are scared of that judgment. Women, men, we do everything from wearing Jordans to chains to our waves. Everything is to attract women. So if that one thing comes out that I like to do this and now I'm ostracized from that community and I'm ridiculed by ladies all over, where do I go from here?
I mean, I agree with you partially on that. I think within that fear, straight men, we tend to go the extreme. I don't think we're necessarily ostracized. We're going to hit the group chat and our life is ruined. Just to say, like we like our balloon knot to be played with. Balloon knot is a butthole. Yeah. But,
or bitten.
Yeah, or bitten, right?
Bites buttholes.
I bites buttholes. It's
fun. That sounds great.
Oh, it feels great.
Yeah. The angle for that seems tricky, though.
I make it happen. But I also, I think that... within the matter of like being left behind, there's never been necessarily a language for straight men to thrive in for like sex toys or to be to propel forward within sex. Just like recently, I was joking around on Twitter, but like partially serious when I was saying that don't call sex toys if you want to be more comfortable. Like as a straight man, like call them something Call of Duty worthy, like an attachment or a clip, like something that makes you feel more comfortable with using it. And just marketing wise, it's not marketed towards straight men. So we don't necessarily see the language that makes us comfortable or even things that makes us comfortable. Women are wild and crazy. So sometimes they'll want the big, huge dildo. And when we see that, it's just like, I don't want to grab that and put it in you, but give me something that's molded or catered like more towards me and what I like, and then we can navigate from there.
Say you have a smaller member. You're insecure about your smaller member, and you pull out a dick extender. What's the chances that a woman will?
Well, you don't pull out
a ridicule you.
You don't start with that.
You don't start with a dick extender. Yeah.
Yes, you will get ridiculed. I didn't think you were going to bring out the dick extender to pummel me on the first try. No, please, I am going to ridicule you. This is weird.
But if you're small and y'all got there and then you go get a dick extender.
But that's a conversation to have.
That's a hell of a group chat laugh.
But I think that confidence within yourself to not worry about what other people think and the criticism from all these people around you and say, I'm standing 10 toes down. This is what I like. And I'm not saying that confidence is the answer. I'm just saying it's a step in the right direction.
I will say that when he started this journey, everybody laughed. But he has so many more women now. Like, ridiculous. He has foursomes every other weekend. He has orgies.
I have my sub pick up other girls.
He has so many that it's kind of like the guys are now like, you can't laugh anymore.
Yeah, because I could have sex with a dude who does doggies as being freaky anytime I wanted to. Mm-hmm. To find you, you're like a one in probably 100,000 dudes. So like the numbers would pile up for you.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, just for the people out there listening, one thing that you can do to get into the sex toys is every month, order one. That y'all, like, it becomes a fun time for y'all to try out this new toy.
Yeah.
If whether you order one for your lady and she orders one for you, mm-hmm. and y'all bring it to the table and y'all play, you know, with it together, it becomes more of a like a jump of adrenaline to y'all sex lives. It's something that you
it's
can
like
just
planning
add
date
to
night.
Yeah, it's like
play
a date night.
I try my best, my brother. If we're talking about like how to sex toys and how to make men feel a little more comfortable, if you want to get to like the, if you want your guy to be more comfortable with it, it's like ass play, don't go straight for the ass. Go for the gooch first and then like put pressure on the gooch while you're like massaging or giving head or anything like that, but always stick by the gooch and distract them with the penis, and then you slowly work your way down. Every time y'all have sex, slowly work your way down, and then you'll see that. He probably likes to.
Don't have him in a compromising position, though.
That's
like,
right.
I think that men just think about the sub nature of getting your ass ate a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the positioning. Like, they always like, oh, what position do you get your ass ate in? Like, it's all about not being looking like a woman or feeling gay. That is, like, because the ass is the region that men, heterosexual men, compare to gay. It's the gateway to gayness to them. Mm-hmm. So you want to, for me, I would think that a easier way to do it would definitely be to do a standing up or something that is in a way that doesn't make them feel like they're turning into sub or doing something that is resonated for.
And then
women
once you feel the pleasurable benefits of that position, you're like, it'd be more logical for me to be somewhere where you get easier access like not thinking about it like so destination focused.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like I want to do ass play. Instead, it's like, let's get started on you being comfortable with me stimulating areas aside from just your penis.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the verbiage could always have some help, because instead of saying, oh, let's do ass play, or I want to play with your ass, like a woman could tell you, like, baby, I just want to utilize your whole body. For pleasure.
That was really good. Yep. You know, it's actually very fascinating. I was having this conversation, I was mentioning a couple of weeks ago, and I was saying that I don't actually know of male sex educators who are doing this work and making it cool and accessible.
Us either.
Well, I think I'm sitting across from two of them right now.
So we don't consider ourselves educators because, men are dumb.
We definitely don't want to come off like we're telling nobody what to do. And I think that as far as heterosexual men, especially black men, they would rather somebody talk to them as homies than somebody talk down to them or try to tell them about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this was wonderful. I want to end things off with a guided suggestion. I'm trying not to say an education bit, but like if you were trying to help women who, one, they want to be their full freaky self in the bedroom, but they feel like they can't because they would intimidate their partner. Mm-hmm. Or two, they want to encourage their partner, who they feel might be very stifled, to explore more in their body. What are some things that you would suggest?
Ladies, if you want your body to explore, DM me at
Jesus. I knew it. The minute he did that, I'm like, oh my God.
I was getting very excited. Educated me. I was like, this is going to be great. Teach them something.
You go first. I'm not sure.
I mean, I think that mutual masturbation is a great start. Mm-hmm. It's something that a guy is used to. And it doesn't take him so far. But I do believe, honestly, I completely believe that the best thing to do to get somebody to open up to you is to talk.
Damn it.
It is to talk. It is to have certain conversation. It is to...
You took your play?
It's to pry it open through communication, through, you know, stay away from his butthole at first, especially heterosexual black men. Just at first, get him into the feeling of exploring, into using your vibrators, into incorporating it into the bedroom where it isn't like you're replacing him. You guys are a team. And once you get there, you can explore.
All right, let me throw this question out there too, because you talked about that women are part of the problem. So they want more space to be sexually liberated and sexually free in their relationships. And they also want to provide space for their partner, but may not be realizing that they're using sex negative language or oppressive language in their everyday vernacular.
Ooh.
Like, you know, kind of, I was mentioning this to Jared, how it's so sad to me that, you know, there's this body positivity movement for women, but every time a penis shot leaks of a celebrity, it becomes a free for all, right? So keeping that in mind, like, what would you like to see in women's culture in order to make more room for men to achieve liberation sexually?
Earlier accountability. We're all going to say the wrong thing, use the wrong vernacular, everything that you said that women do. Sometimes after that and how you go about it really is very helpful. And the part that they play in misogyny or whatever the case may be.
I think it's very deep into our society, into the Black society, misogyny and judgment. It's hard. Like when Nelly's tape came out and everybody was calling this shit little or whatever, but most guys don't have big dick. If everybody had a big dick, it wouldn't be a big.
Right.
It would just be regular. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, it's hard for me to tell women what to do because this is an empowerment thing.
Well, what would you like to see less of? You're like, hey, I'm not saying to do this, but if you want to see more freedom from men, what would you like to see less of in return?
Women saying things like, oh, guys, I don't date guys that dance or guys that do ponytails or have too much hair. Anything that makes it seem like regular behavior is bad or gay or turned down on. And not that gay is bad because, you know, it's just, there's this whole thing.
Weaponized.
I kid you not. It makes men scared of anything different to the point where even if you accuse him of that, he can become abusive or he can become like really angry that you're questioning his quote unquote manhood. That because that's the one thing that you have to protect. Your father or anybody that's older that will tell you, like, don't never let nobody take your manhood. And there's a million different ways that you can do it, especially as a woman. Calling this shit little, telling them that he can't. Those are things that a man will never come back from. You took his manhood. He doesn't have anything left. Our power, a lot of our power comes from right here in our wallet. You know, so, and then the fact that most of us don't have financial freedom. Well, that's why they say when you're broke, you fuck the best. Because that's all you got.
I need somewhere to sleep.
That's all you have. So those things that take away a guy's manhood or make it seem like just being human is wrong. Those are the things that keep men into the oppressive nature, themselves and women.
Your partner was further along sexually than you.
Absolutely.
Knew more about sex than you. Absolutely. And men have this idea that they're supposed to come in and be the sexually dominant one. They're supposed to teach a woman about her mm-hmm. body and teach a woman about her pleasure. So you had a partner who was teaching you mm-hmm. and who knew more. You also saw your partner be pleasured. And then you also acknowledged that, like, wow, these other people are able to please my partner in a way that I haven't learned how to mm-hmm. do yet. And then also you allowed your partner to start anal play with you, which mm-hmm. is another hurdle. Mm-hmm. How did you overcome all of these?
Hardest off podcast.
I would say the podcast. I think listening to the podcast just lets me into how normal being free sexually is. It's sad to be in that little corner where that's all you are, right? And I think that I want to be the best lover my woman has ever had. I want to be the most open, the most accepting. I just want to be a dope dude. You know what I mean? And I realized that staying in that corner was not going to be it. Somebody's going to please her. When I get up after having sex and leave, she has to always go to the vibrator. She has to always do that.
I had a partner that was like that for me. I was like, I was doing a countdown, like, fall asleep, please.
You know what yeah. I'm saying? And I had a partner that had to do that. I remember my baby mama, when I left one morning, I was going to the train station and I get to the train and I didn't have my Metro card. And I'm like, damn, I gotta go back to the house, get the Metro card. And as soon as I open the door, and I was like, really? Right? And I didn't realize it's because she wasn't ever always satisfied. Like, sex was one thing, but satisfaction is another. And I'm just on a real big journey to make sure that she's happy. I think that's just, when you say protection, providing, it's not just money. It's not just protecting from other people. It's from your own insecurities, projecting your own shit onto them and limiting their growth because you ain't willing to go nowhere. You know? So I'm on a journey with her. We're doing it together.
I loved that conversation with @Tahoe_TV and @WH_OrlandoRoy. If you didn't catch that, that's Orlando Roy on Instagram. Hard or Soft Podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. So make sure you go and subscribe and leave a review because if you want to fix the problem, we need to amplify the voices working towards the solution. Okay, so this next segment may not be that exactly. I don't know what I expected, but I do know that if I was going to do the third segment of this podcast justice, where there's an informal, reflective dialogue designed to encourage you to spark similar conversations with your own lovers and friends, then I couldn't be there. I wanted to hear some straight men's unfiltered responses to what we discussed today, so I asked my husband, Jared Brady, the host of Enjoy the Podcast, to lead it with his friends. So what you're about to hear is Jared, who sounds like this.
It's nice, man. You should try it.
His best friend, Los, who sounds like this.
I was not a freak. I was a slut.
His younger brother, Cray, who sounds like this.
I surprised a lot of women.
And his brother-in-law, Chris, who sounds like this.
We're expected to know what to do.
So yeah, let's just see how and where this goes, and we'll come back together to round this baby out. And also, I'm going to share with you the real reason why I did not put out an episode last week. Sound good? Okay, we get to it right after this.
Welcome back to Lovers and Friends, a podcast where we talk about loving our friends.
It's not that kind of party.
It's not that kind of party.
Well, I mean, that kind of. That's okay. What I said. I said, you know, the thing that's so interesting is that when she asked me to do this, I was like, you want me to sit next to Cray, Chris, and Los and talk about sex? This is awkward. And then she's like, that's the point. There's not a lot of sexually free men.
It's
and
true.
So I was like, huh, okay, maybe your plan is going to work here and we're all going to get uncomfortable here, but...
I'm not. I'm very comfortable.
I'm there. Okay.
All right. Well, we're right there
now. There
we
go.
In it.
All
we're
right.
In it.
That's as far as this show goes.
Did you guys watch the... What are your first thoughts when you think about that interview?
My first thought was all these years when I was younger, I thought I was a freak. I was not a freak. I was a slut. That's all I was. I was not a freak, man. That Orlando, you a freak.
Man. Yes.
I was as promiscuous as hell. That's all.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Once I heard that, I was like, I don't think I'd be classified as a freak, to be honest, no more.
Not a freaky dude, apparently. You know? I don't wear dildos
on my
face.
And that's okay. And that's okay.
That's another level.
It's a different level.
What is considered a freaky guy?
Exactly what they were saying at first, like put a toe in your mouth. You eat some ass.
Yeah, that's like the level. You're like, oh, you're
spinning her mouth.
Yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then you know you hear his stories, and you're like, oh,
I'm not a freak.
Maybe. Well, do you think that's because of socialization, or do you think that's just your actual desire?
The things that we think are freaky are. Maybe not as freaky as we think they are. You know what I mean? Like, things that guys are like, oh, I ate ass before. Like, okay, like, that's pretty normal, actually. Mm-hmm. They're not really pushing the envelope by doing
it. It's not that.
Well, I know.
That's off the table.
Y'all ain't eating butter.
What?
I mean, it's not that normal.
It's just a little, bro, you don't gotta eat it seasoned.
That is for, like, I'm not just gonna eat her ass.
You eat pussy, right?
Yes, that's not ass, though.
You know, just walk to the backyard, bro. You already at the front door.
Wow. Well, you're seeing the levels here, right? I think that's the point.
Maybe so, yeah.
But look, it's just different. Like,
No. One of the things that his partner was saying on the show, AP is the gateway to being gay.
Yeah.
AP. Ass play.
Oh, ass play.
Yeah.
Is the gateway to being gay. And I think for a lot of men, hetero, straight men, that is true.
Well,
right?
Exactly. I think a lot of the times of like our aversion to either... putting dildos on our heads or getting our ass played with.
Yep.
There's like a level of being like, is this borderlining like any homophobic or homo activity? You know what I mean?
So we got like we're limited on how freaky we could be, you're saying.
Well, because of our ideas of what you think masculinity is supposed to look like in the bedroom. And so
I don't know. I mean, I think for Chris and I, our generation, anything to do with your butt is gay.
Right.
Like, fair point.
Breathing on my butt is gay. Like, I remember to the extreme of, and it's shown how much the ideas have shifted over the generations, but I remember, if you were having sex with a woman missionary, like, I remember hearing, like she can't grab your ass. That's some gay shit. Like, if a woman was, you know, to do like this and grab your cheeks, like... that's borderline gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, back then.
It was heavy.
When I was like 15, 16 years old, eating pussy was gay.
It was a, yeah, you know what? It's funny you bring that. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yes.
Think about it, though. Think about it.
Bro, no, I know, and I feel you.
Yeah. But yeah, but I would say also being part Jamaican.
Can I get an explanation on that?
We'll get back to that. Yeah, Jamaican. Like, you have to think about the music, the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The songs that women sing in a Jamaican culture, listen, it's about how he's giving it to her. Yep. Songs that it's all about, and if you touch anything.
Hey, they dance wild.
Exactly. But it's hyper masculine, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be male and female. And then there's words for gay people in patois that, yes, you know, it's not a great look, but yeah. So much of that hyper masculinity is transcended.
There's a difference between like women's sexual freedom, right? Oh. It's like promoted. It's like rallied behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like men, we don't really talk about it or even rally behind somebody like someone like Orlando, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, yo, you on that side, right? Exactly. You know? And then it's interesting because women are just furthering their sexual desires where we're kind of staying the same, like my penis, this is it. This is what we got. We're going to give you this. And they're continuing to change the way that they accept pleasure in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And we're just getting left behind if we're not like, eventually they're just going to continue to grow in that area. And we're going to be stuck in this box of like this same way of having sex. Yeah. Is there any fear is there any fear in that?
I surprise a lot of women, you know what I'm saying, when I'm first with them. And most dudes really don't know even how to, you feel me, like approach a girl's, you feel me?
Yeah.
Clitoris, vagina, anything, all that stuff. Well, they don't know what to touch.
Talk about that. How do we approach?
How do you approach? Yeah. All
right, so. Do you introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Little
kisses?
It's not that serious, but go ahead. What you gonna say?
This is what is interesting to me is that like, this is how guys talk about sex, right? There's like a challenging, there's like a joking, there's like a
leaving out the specific details at time.
That
often,
too, with craze, like kind of like, I ain't gonna put myself out there. But, and then when he goes to, we're like, you know, gonna attack him for it. And I think it's interesting because when women talk about sex, the friends are like a curious. They're like, wait, what? What do you do?
How did
what
it
do
feel?
You do? What was it like? You know what I mean? And so I just find that like, it's interesting. I look at it and I hear a lot what they're saying because there is a lot of, when it comes to sex, I think as a masculine, heteronormative man, you're expected to know what to do all the time, right? So it doesn't leave space for curiosity.
I want to pick up on something you were saying there, Jared, that we don't, we're not able as a heteronormative male to be able to, we're expected to know what to do.
Yeah.
I think there's a perception versus reality piece to that because even though we're expected to know that, we put that pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. We don't actually invite the conversation often.
And then at the same time, it makes me wonder like how much, at least for myself, I know like probably the nature of my sexual encounters has kept me from becoming very explorative because I'm not always in a committed relationship. Like a lot of times it is some, you know, fuck buddy or friends with benefits shit. And because we're not exclusive, I may not be comfortable doing certain things that I would be comfortable doing with somebody who I trust about where they're going, who they're being with, you know, like I don't have a problem with you doing what you do, but because of that, I may not put my mouth on certain places because I don't know what you do.
There was a part in the interview where they were talking about the fear of getting put in the group chat. Do you remember that part?
With the women?
Yeah, there's a fear like maybe I have a fetish or I want to do something freaky. I'm not going to want to do it. You know, I might not say anything because I don't want you to go to your homegirls and be like, yo, this nigga did this. Like, what did he do? You know what I'm saying? So
if I was going in, I didn't care about the group chat because, but that amped up the pressure though.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about, okay, I know no matter what, she's going back to the group chat.
She's going to.
So I need to deliver.
Yeah.
Right. So that, okay, no matter what that goes back to that group chat, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the pressure.
You don't think about the group chat?
No, I mean, I don't really even want to try anything. Like,
I don't have any sexual things that I'm like embarrassed
about.
Like things that like, the freakiest shit I've done is I had my butt ate once.
Yeah.
I wasn't really a fan of
you
that.
You know what's interesting is that
was weird.
That Narc. You know, when you're talking about that, bro, we did a podcast and we talked about butt play and you were like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
That. I remember that.
Ain't going down. And then you had a woman.
I think I said then that I had my...
No, but you had another experience, where the girl put the vibrator.
I was going to bring that up next.
Yeah.
So it was, I've had my booty lick. Wasn't really a fan of that. That was like, man, not really. And I had a lady put her her vibrator like in the gooch and butt area. I ain't gonna lie. That was good. The vibrations and the sensations when you orgasm, it just boosted it up. I can't lie.
So
I'm still not going for penetration.
No. We're always baby hedging. Steps, yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
If you like the penetration and you like the vibration, own it.
You know what? I'm not that brave yet. Okay. I'm not brave enough to explore penetration yet. I'm
touché.
I'll leave that to those who are
into it. I will say there was something that I didn't know that I liked that I found out that I liked that I asked for pretty often now. I didn't know I liked my nipples played with. I thought that was like, it was like fruity when I was younger. And then like Shan did it. And I was like, wow.
Everybody's trying to hold back the giggles right now.
No.
I'll let him out first.
But you see,
I'm looking over Gray's trying to hold
Gray
it together.
Like,
Gray's
about to die.
I have never seen you Gray, hold it like
nipples
like
got Cray weak. Look at Cray's face right now. Jesus.
No, but seriously, when I was younger, when I was Cray's age, I would never let a woman get near my nipples. It wasn't going to happen. I was like, no. Let me play with yours.
I still laugh when they try to do it. I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
but, you know, me being in a committed relationship, a safe space, like, where I know she knows my masculinity, I'm comfortable with her doing it. And now I'm like, if I were to ever have another sexual experience with someone else, I might be like, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, something that really makes this great is if you play with the nipples a little bit.
Is it a pinching or?
I'm not gonna describe to you.
He wants to know.
Okay. See, this is why we can't get no way.
We need the curiosity.
Why we can't get no way. He's all curious.
It's a licking.
Okay.
It's a licking. Maybe right. a little bite, but not like hard. It's like a little bit. Even when she does it with her hands. But she has to either use lotion or lick it first so that it's not like dry.
Oh, right.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
It's nice, man. You should try it.
Okay.
Tell it to go make a request.
There you go.
I hate y'all.
No, you know what? We appreciate your vulnerability and your honesty in this moment because you know what?
The reason I started laughing just now is because I just envisioned, like, you know, when you go down on a girl and you like reach up and you grab the nipple.
But that's the problem though. That's the problem. That's the why it's so hard to ask for it because you are the one who's supplying it so much your whole life.
That's a good point because it's something that we always do. So it's hard to ask for something that I'm used to. Like, this is the male's, this is the man move, right? I'm going down on you, I'm gonna reach up and play with the nipples. So for me to, like, now, like,
the man
for me
move.
To be like, get some head and she reaches up and starts playing my nipples. Like, the visual's fucking me.
All right, how about this, bro? Has there ever been, and this is what's so crazy about men, you know, masculinity about sexuality. Yep. Have you ever gone down on a girl and adjusted your position because you got down on her on your knees or something, and you're like, you know what? Let me adjust this position because I'm too vulnerable right now. But that's just like so crazy about our brains, right?
But it feels
weird though. Yeah. I don't like a breeze.
It's instinctively vulnerable.
Exactly.
Instinctively, like you feel exposed. I mean, you are, but like.
But is that like some thief in the night that's going to bust through the door?
It feels like somebody's going to kick in the door and take your booty while you sit.
It's innate.
Thank you so much to my incredible husband and life partner and partner in crime, Jared Brady, for leading that discussion along with Los, who he co-hosts Enjoy the Podcast with, and also his brother, Cray, and my brother-in-law, our brother-in-law, Chris, for also sharing his perspective. I thought that it was illuminating and fascinating. And again, I hope that it helps to spark some important discussions in your own world. I will say that I do think that there is tremendous hope in Gen Z and the younger generation who is becoming more comfortable identifying as things other than straight, who is becoming more comfortable rejecting gender norms and instead choosing individual expression and freedom of expression. And I think that's probably being reflected in the sex lives as well. Now, Cray is a part of this generation. So, you know, not all change is going to happen across the board for everybody. But I do think that there are definite glimmers of hope. And I hold on to those. And I hold on to the hope that I get from you being here and a part of this discussion and bringing productivity to it. And again, I really super encourage you, like the male vulnerability episode, because this podcast is majority listened to by women, that I want the conversation to extend into other communities and spaces that I don't have access to, but you do. So go ahead and do the great work that you do. Speaking of your great work, shout out to everyone who took the time to rate and review the podcast. As you know, that is a huge marker of success and potential that podcasts have. So that little act that you do goes such a long way. So I want to shout out some people who recently left a review, including Holiday Thorne, who said that the show provokes thought and gives great insight. I had Kayla, who said, longtime listener, but the Dating in Your 20s episode forced me to write a review. What an amazing episode. Thank you so much. Somebody else, Chrissy, says, I don't normally go to my way to write a review, but Shan covers so much information that is not only interesting to listen, but also the sex ed you probably never received. Thank you for that. Sweet P82 says, I just started listening recently and I love the content and how the conversations are honest, gentle, informative. I love the show. And I love hearing that you like the show. I also like hearing that you don't like parts of the show. I want to make this my best work yet. And that leads me to why I missed last week's episode. So the previous episode, which was the Cammie Crawford one about breaking up is fun to do, I talked in the very end candidly about how this past season, and I mean season, like the past 4 months have been really terrible for me. Those of you who know, I'm pregnant with my second child, and there was a lot of emotions and also a lot of negative symptoms. And then also a lot of change that happened with my business. If you're on my YouTube channel, you know the transitions in work that we're having. And it's just been a time of so much change while I feel so uncomfortable in my skin and my body. And so in essence, at the end of the last episode, I said, but don't worry, guys. Next week, I'm breaking up with first trimester me. I'm joining a gym. I'm starting a meal plan. I'm going to get my life on track. I'm going to hire somebody, you know, to help me out, to take my workload off. It's going to be amazing. Ryu's going to get sleep training. Everything's going to be awesome. And I ended up having the worst week I've had in a very, very long time. I got sick with a cold, which put me on a complete tailspin. And I realized about my life that everything is so perfectly imbalanced at the bare minimum that if one thing happens, I'm completely thrown off track. And so that cold really just took me out and also took me on a dark path of just feeling really angry for a few days. And then the comedy of that is my house was broken into on one of those days. And I had a confrontation with the person who broke into my house. And luckily I had a cold because I was able to tell that person, I have COVID, you need to leave right now. And I had the voice and the symptoms. I did not have COVID, but I appeared to have so. And then further to that, I ended up with a stomach bug a couple days later. So I was just going to do a podcast episode that was basically this, a pity party, a poor me, but furthermore, me highlighting a lesson that I learned actually years ago during another dark time that I went to when I first moved to LA. And I made a mistake back then that I see myself making again now that I've got to put a stop to. And that mistake is that when you're in dark times or times of uncertainty, what I tend to do is I tend to connect the dots looking forward. So because I want to get out of where I am so desperately, I create these scenarios based on things that are not entirely in my control that are going to happen. And then as a result, when that doesn't happen, I'm completely on my ass and I'm reeling and I'm reaming and I'm angry. And my favorite quote is, you cannot connect the dots looking forward, only in looking back. So instead of having a plan, sometimes you just need to have faith. And I think that that's where my shift is really coming from. There's something beautiful, you know, Jared has this joke where I always say next week will be my good week. And he's like, you literally say that every week. And I'm like, yeah, because I kind of have to believe it. But there's a difference between believing it and creating an entire lifestyle and schedule and plan based on something that you just don't have all the information for yet. So last week was my week just to give myself space to feel shitty and to be shitty and not to put out a shitty podcast as a result of that. Yeah, that's why I missed last week's episode, but hopefully it won't happen going forward because we're going to stay together and stay on top of things. But if we have to make a shift, then we'll talk because that's what we do. So I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Lovers and friends. Lovers and friends. I'ma take you on a trip, baby, I don't pretend. I said, lovers and friends, I'ma hold you down to the end. I said, lovers and friends, lovers and friends, yeah. I said, lovers and friends, I'ma hold you down to the end. I said,
Lovers and Friends is executive produced by Shared Entertainment, Shambudram, and Lauren Morrison. Also produced by Stitcher's Jackie Sojico, Two West Entertainment's Adam Krasner and Isabel Gallant, as well as Paul Anderson, Nick Pinella, and Andrew Greenwood for Workhouse Media. Engineering by Peter Karam. The Lovers and Friends theme song is produced by Sean Ross and performed by Jared Brady, who also does the scoring and sound design. Jasmine Henley Brown is the executive producer at More Sauce, and this podcast is powered by More Sauce from Stitcher Podcasts.